This is WFO Radio.
WFO Radio. Hello, NHRA fans, and welcome to the WFOradio.com coverage of the first NHRA Mellow Yellow Series press conference of the 2015 season. Today's press conference is just getting ready to get started, and the guests are Tony Schumacher, the 2014 Top Fuel World Champion, Dave Connolly, a 2015 Top Fuel Rookie Candidate, and John Force, who recently announced his 2015 manufacturer and whose daughter, Brittany Force, recently ran the first 369 run in Top Fuel history. John Force, Tony Schumacher, and Dave Connolly will all be taking questions from the media in preparation for the 2015 season. Quick reminder, subscribe to WFO Radio NHRA Nitro on iTunes or download the WFO Radio mobile application. It's free for iOS or Android. You can also listen on Stitcher. You can listen on TuneIn and just about anything that has an internet connection. You can just listen right on Safari on your iPhone. However you want to do it, we don't even care one way or the other. Just check out the show and subscribe each week. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, the Twitter account at WFO Radio or at WFO Radio on Facebook for all kinds of great up-to-the-minute stuff regarding WFO Radio, the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, and NASCAR and IndyCar, our Ignition show, also a fan favorite. Check it out if you're new to WFO Radio. We invite you back each week. We want to become part of your weekly experience and kill a little time for you, wherever you are, driving a truck, working in a cubicle, working in the shop, whatever you're doing, flip on a little WFO Radio whenever you can, and we'll kill a little time. But now it's time to go off to the press conference. John Force, Tony Schumacher, Dave Connolly, as the NHRA puts on their first press conference of 2015.
We'll be joined today by three drivers who will be key figures in the upcoming season. And those three drivers will be Dave Connolly and Tony Schumacher in Top Fuel and John Force in Funny Car. During the course of the call, if you would like to ask a driver a question, please hit star one on your keypad. We're starting today's call off with Dave Connolly. Dave is a driver of the C&J Energy Services Dragster and will be making his transition to Top Fuel after a successful career thus far in pro stock. He has 26 career pro stock victories, including three wins at the historic Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Connolly will race the 2015 season for Bob Vandergriff Racing, with Kurt Elliott serving as the crew chief for the team. His teammate will be former Top Fuel World Champion Larry Dixon. Dave, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks. Dave, start off, you know, just introducing you, saying Dave Connolly, Top Fuel. You know, I keep thinking, am I making a mistake? Have you gotten used to that title, and how did testing go for you guys?
You know, it's funny. I would have never dreamed that I've been Dave Connolly Top Fuel for sure. I've kind of always grown up in the pro stock ranks, and it's been a fun journey so far. I got to be honest with you, it's kind of opened my eyes quite a bit to what kind of monsters these Top Fuel cars are, and it's been a fun test session so far. I mean, we've got to experience a lot of different things, you know, tire shake, smoking a tire early, smoking a tire down track, even blew up a few times. So we're trying to get all the things of Top Fuel racing out of the way early in season, and it's been, again, a great ride, and looking forward to a very different but very fun and exciting 2015.
What is that learning curve like going from a pro stock to a Top Fuel car?
Yeah, it's hard to explain because I've never experienced anything like these kind of cars. I mean, the G's that they pull all the way down the track is just pretty much incredible. They just from 200 feet to 700 feet, these things are really covering up some ground and really set you back in the seat. As far as the driving standpoint, obviously a pro stock car, there's a few more things going on, but again, you have a lot more time to adapt. These things, you're covering up so much ground in such a little amount of time, any little movement or small mistake turns into a big one in a hurry. So, just getting adapted and acclimated with with the speed rate and everything is the biggest challenge so far.
Great. Thank you very much. And members of the media, if you would like to ask Dave a question, please hit star one on your keypad. We have Stan Creekmore. Stan, you may ask your question of Dave.
Hand raised.
Dave, I remember meeting you a good number of years ago, and the word top fuel never, ever entered your words whatsoever. What convinced you to take the step up to the top fuel series?
You know, it's crazy. Again, probably when I met you, I never considered racing top fuel, but, you know, it's all about opportunities, obviously, and when Bob... you know, he was making a change in his program and, you know, obviously, you know, approached me and I was very honored to even, you know, be considered for a position in top fuel because, in my opinion, it's the pinnacle of drag racing and it's the fastest cars on the ground, the fastest thing on the property. So, you know, that's as high as it goes and never in a million years did I feel I'd even have the opportunity to race on a pro level like I have in pro stock and now in top fuel. It's just, it's been a blessing. And again, it's all about opportunities. And when I was approached, it was definitely, I didn't have to think very long on it. I think it's going to be very exciting and, you know, not too many people get opportunities like this. So I'm going to try to take full advantage of it.
Was there at any point in your conversation, a convincing moment, a word, a sentence that just convinced you, I don't have to think about this anymore, I can say yes?
you know, obviously, it's again, it's the top tier of drag racing, so, you know, I've known that, and don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan of pro stock racing, love all aspects of it, love the technology, but it's just, when you think drag racing, it's, you know, it's the first one to the finish line, and again, these things are going 1,000 foot and 3.7 seconds and 330 miles an hour. So there's it was that alone is kind of sold the deal for me. I've always been interested in all categories of drag racing, from stock eliminator and you know to now to top fuel. And I must say, it's kind of grabbed a hold of me tightly. It's very addicting and. I think I'm going to really enjoy just getting to race top fuel for a full season.
Thank you, Dave. Best of luck.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Stan. Next up, we have Joe Costello.
You may speak to your conference now.
Yes, Dave. Good luck this year. A question about your level of competitiveness going into a new category. When I think about Dave Connolly, I think about a great driver, but also someone who wins a lot. Tell me about the balance between you're learning, you're getting used to a new car, but you want to be competitive and you want to go out and win races and at some point be able to go out and do what you normally do, impose your will and dominate races. How does that work? Because you can't get ahead of yourself with this new car that is so much faster, yet and still Dave Connolly is a competitor and he wants to win.
What you're saying is you don't want me throwing helmets and getting mad the first race of the season if I can't win, huh?
it would be fun to watch.
You know, you're right. It is going to take some adapting. Obviously, anytime, I think I could speak for any drag racer, you roll through the gate, you want to think that you have a chance or a possibility of winning a drag race, or else you wouldn't even enter, you know. So it's I understand and I'm very well aware that it's going to take some time to get acclimated with these cars. Again, they're a different animal and just getting them from A to B is, you know, going to take a lot of learning and a lot of experience and passes. And it's just, it's going to take seat time and I understand that. But in the same sense, you know, I feel very confident and very strong about the people that BBR has put in place. You know, we've got some three great crew chiefs. You know, obviously, alliance with DSR, and you know, Bob Vandegrift's done a very good job of putting the right people in place. You know, so to go out there and cut ourselves short just because of lack of experience, and you know, I don't want to do that. You know, anything can happen on Sunday. We've all seen that in drag racing. So all I can do is just go out there and and just keep learning, and then you know, keep that competitiveness. It's still a get in the car A to B as fast as you can, and leaving the starting line on time mentality. So I'm just gonna go out there and keep an open mind, obviously, but you know, still I want to win every time I stage a car.
Is there a driver that you are particularly excited or thrilled to go up against in Top Fuel?
You know, I guess there's a lot of them. Obviously, you know, Tony Schumacher's got the number one on his car, so you know, you definitely will always want to take him out. But there's a ton of talent in the class. Big fan of Antoine Brown's. Obviously, he's a past world champion, and I think he's one of the best drivers out there. On you know, you got Spencer Massey, Sean Lane, and there's just you know, right next door to us with Larry Dixon. I mean, I think him and Tony have won you know, a couple races the last few years of Top Fuel for sure. So the list goes on. To be honest with you, it's the amount of competition and competitiveness is really, really stepped up the last few years in Top Fuel and Tony Carden throughout all categories. You know, these guys are out there, which I find very impressive, is they're going 3.7 seconds side by side every other run. So, you know, the driver's kind of taking a little more role in the starting line just because the cars are running so close together.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joe. Next up,
hand lowered.
Saul, Jeannie, you may ask your question of Dave.
Hi. I wanted to know, before Bob approached you, had you given any thought to racing a Top Fuel dragster?
I got to give you, be 100% honest, no. You know, I was pretty much focused on the task at hand in Pro Stock and staying pretty busy with going on at Gray Motorsports last year. And you know, it's again, you gotta keep an open mind in drag racing because you never know year to year who you're gonna be racing with or for. Or what you might be driving. So it was a shock to me, to be honest with you, and you know, I'm very, very blessed and fortunate that he even considered me for a position like this.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. How much practice have you had in a Top Fuel dragster?
If you ask me, not enough going into Pomona, but you know, it's we got to make quite a few runs down there in West Palm. We went in December, and I think we made, I don't know, 10 to 12 runs then, and we went down there again just a few weeks ago and made another probably 10 attempts or so. But to be honest with you, I've made only 3 runs in the, you know, 381 to 376 range. So very, very green to the class still, and, you know, it's going to be exciting Q1 just to try to make a full pull and get the uprights under full power.
Well, I think Dixon as a teammate will be a considerable help to you, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, between Bob and Larry, you're talking about 40 years experience behind the wheel. So Larry's been a very big help in any questions that I may have, and even things that, you know, he foresees me maybe experiencing. He's kind of gave me a heads up on, and you know, having them guys in your corner is obviously going to be a huge factor in speeding up the learning process. But they keep telling me it's all about seat time, and the more laps you make, the things will start to slow down, and you'll start to adapt them, you know, to them a little quicker. So again, that's you know, Top Fuel session 101 is definitely in order.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Dwight Drum. Dwight, you may ask your question of Dave.
Thank you. Dave, you know, as far as, it's kind of like an equation. We got to, like, maybe comment on this equation. You got your confidence and your experience, plus some, top equipment. And then you've got 2 veterans there to be a virtual, bank of information for you. Talk about that equation equaling success.
You're right. It takes, everything working in order and everything gelling. Obviously, you know, one of the main key ingredients to success is team chemistry, and so far it's been great. Again, it's between Mike, Kurt, and now Joe. those guys seem to get along great. The camaraderie of the team is there. You know, so that is key. And obviously having the right equipment, which Bob has made a huge investment in, getting us all the right pieces, parts that we need to go out there and play with these guys at the top level. So those are huge. Right now, obviously, I feel like the weak link because of lack of experience. But again, you know, it's you're only a lack of experience because you haven't had the opportunity or the time. So, you know, Bob has given that to us, and, you know, we're just going to try to make this process as fast as possible and get to the level of confidence where we feel we can go out there and win on a regular basis. So we'll, you know, it's I've been given great opportunities in the past with some great teams throughout the pro stock career, and some you've blown your expectations and won more than you thought, and others, you know, you felt like you left some on the table. So we're not going to try to do that. We're gonna give it our all, and you know, work as hard as we can, and go out there and try to bang heads with these guys. But you know, I know there's a lot of talented people in the whole class, and they're going to be at it, and it's going to be a dogfight at the end.
And what do you like best about your experience in it so far?
So far, again, it's just the G's that they continue to accelerate all the way down the track. You know, it's a fun ride for 1,000 feet, not 900 feet, but 1,000. So these things are impressive. The amount of power that they can apply to the racetrack continually for that period of time and cover 1,000 feet. And, you know, you're covering up the last 320 or 340 foot of the track in about 7/10 of a second. And to me, that's just mind-blowing.
Thanks, Dave, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Next up, caller from Silver Lake, Washington. Please say your name and your affiliation.
Susan Wade, Competition Plus. Hi, Dave. Joe touched on this a little bit, but, you know, when Antron Brown came over from Pro Stock Motorcycles to Top Fuel, he made an immediate impact on the class. And you know, but he also had a number of seasoned Top Fuel drivers who volunteered advice a lot. And I know you've got, you know, you've got a couple of good ones right there in your own camp, but did anybody else besides Bob and Larry help you?
Oh, absolutely, and it's you know, that's what amazes me, I guess, coming from the pro stock world where everything was so tight-knit and everyone was afraid to talk into each other, that now in the fuel ranks, there's been a lot of open arms. Obviously, Sean Langdon, been friends with him through the sportsman ranks. He's, you know, gave me a few pointers. Antron Brown is always there to help. I mean, I can't say enough about the guy. He's a great ambassador of the sport, and again, Morgan Lucas, Richie Crampton, that team has been a huge help as well. So there's been a lot of guys that have offered up help. Even Tony at West Palm come over and, you know, offered any advice that he has. So it's
I just wanted to make sure.
You know, it's been very warm and welcoming so far, and I look forward to racing with these guys.
Hey, thank you, and also I wanted to tell you real quick that your very first PR person, Joe Shirk, told me to give you his best wishes. So,
that's great. I hope Joe's doing well. Tell him I said hello.
I will do that. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Susan. And I believe we have one more question for Dave. Caller, may I ask your affiliation?
Louis Brewster with the L.A. Newspaper Group.
Thanks, Louis.
You
asked a question, Dave.
Thanks. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Very good. How you doing?
Hey, listen, what are some realistic goals that you might have for this year?
You know, a few people have asked me that, and like I said, I don't want to downplay this team just because of my lack of experience. Again, but, you know, I do have to be realistic, and right now, just getting comfortable, making the right decisions in the car. You know, there's a lot of firsts. Yeah, right now it's, you know, getting A to B and learning that when the thing smokes the tires, what to do. But I haven't been put in a pedal situation or a lot of race day, Sunday situations that, you know, it's going to take a lot of experience. So, you know, for me to say that we're going to go out there to Pomona and turn four wind lights on, you know, I'm not going to be disappointed if that doesn't happen. Obviously, I want that to happen, and we're going to do our best to give our all. But if you know, things start to gel and I can get my confidence level up and get more seat time. You know, I'd love to find BBR in the winner's circle multi times this season, myself and Larry included. So, you know, this team is more than capable of winning, and I just got to do my part and hold up my end and not be the weak link of this group. A lot of talent there, and we're gonna go out there and again just try to keep our nose up and get after it. The team's been very supportive and very patient with me so far, and I can't thank them enough.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Louie. And I believe Tony, have you joined us on the call?
I'm on here. What's going on, guys?
All right. Thank you very much, Tony. And Dave, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. And we look forward to seeing you in your new ride when we pull into Pomona next week.
Thanks, everyone. It's been great talking to you, and look forward to a fun and exciting 2015.
Great. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thanks.
Next up, we do have Tony Schumacher, driver of the U.S. Army Top Fuel Dragster. Schumacher enters the season as an eight-time Top Fuel World Champion. And during the coming season, one of the goals that Tony might have is to move up on the all-time win list. He has 77 wins, which is fourth on the list, trailing Bob Glidden, Warren Johnson, and then leader John Force. Tony, kind of talk about, you know, the upcoming season. Dave kind of hit upon it, that when you have that number one on the side of your car, you know, everybody's looking to, you know, knock you down a peg when you pull into Pomona. Does that give you, and you've obviously been here before, but does that give you and your team a little, you know, added step in as you head into the opening event?
You know, I wish I could say yes, honestly, but I can't remember the last time I didn't try, you know. I think about that all the time, like, oh, man, they're going to really be gunning for us. And then I go, wait a minute, they're always gunning for us. We had the number seven on our car last year, and the quickest runs in the history of the last season were against me. So, and it didn't have the number one on the side of the car. It's just, I think that Army car is so cool. People love racing it. It's just awesome. You know, it's a great car, great team that's been successful and done a lot over the years. So it's always a target. It's the way it is. And I'm glad to be the driver. I'm glad to sit in the seat. I enjoy it mostly because I like to know that the guy racing me, you know, finds it worthy to try hard. And it's cool. So I think we're just proud to have the number one on the car. Not that we got to try harder or do this or do that, but we're happy that the year ended like it did, and you know, grateful for the same guys returning back and doing the same jobs, and we're getting better and stronger every day.
Great, thank you very much. First up is Dwight. Dwight, you may ask your question of Tony. Members of the media, if you would like to ask a question of Tony, please hit star one on your keypad. Dwight, do you have a floor?
Thank you. Of course, congratulations again, Tony, for all.
Hand raised.
You know, talk a little bit about the required intensity it takes to win a championship, one championship, and let alone come back and have the intensity to win eight.
You know, I sit in the car a lot of times and think, why do I do this? This is so intense. You know, before a big run that you have to be really great at, sometimes you sit in a car and you just think, this is nuts. This is just so much pressure. And what I'm so happy to be able to do is look back on all the times that it's been so difficult and how we've pulled it off, you know, and it makes it so much easier to get through those moments because, you know, there was a time where it was deer in the headlights. It was so big, you thought, there's no way. And then you win a few of those, and you do, your team pulls off these miracles, and you start to believe. And, you know, some of you guys actually joke about it. You know, I believe in stuff that doesn't seem possible. Well, I do. And the funny thing is, I've kind of lived a lot of those moments that has made it easy to believe. You know, that run in 06 that was physically impossible. I mean, I'm not sure we even knew it was, you know, we thought, oh, well, there's a snowball's chance, but really, are we really going to be able to do this? And then you pull it off and you start to think, wow, this is absolutely possible. Nothing, you know, world records are broken all the time because it's never been done before. So, I like those moments. I think I've said this in many, many press conferences, if you want to see me get beat, come to a race where it's not important. because we drop our guard a little bit, and that happens. But we're good when it's important. We're good when it's a must, and that's just how our team is.
Do you think you could ever be able to teach all that to any one person?
Well, first of all, I don't want to because then they beat me. You know, I think I've taught a couple people too much already. It's just the way it is. You know, I'm one of those dumb guys. People always say, you know, I taught him everything he knows, but not everything I know. Well, I don't stop at that. I kind of teach him, and then I think to myself, and how our team has always been. Well, then we race. You know everything I know, and now we race.
Good luck, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dwight. Next up, we have Joe Costanza.
You may speak to your conference now.
Hey, Tony. Happy New Year. U.S. Army, all about leadership. They've been your sponsor for a long time, 77 wins. Here we are getting ready for the 2015 season, another go-round in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. They just introduced Baptism by Nitro, their new campaign, encouraging fans to bring new fans. If you were going to show leadership with the sport as the winningest driver in the history of Top Fuel, the most championships, what would you do? What would you bring to the table? What are you going to try to do this year to continue to elevate this sport in the mainstream media world? You know, it's Super Bowl week. They got their Radio Row going on right now. And we've got a sport that we all agree is the coolest, it's the best, it's the most amazing, it's a spectacle. You are the winningest driver in Top Fuel. What can you do to help us all elevate this thing?
I think it's just it's personal attention. Like, we can blow it up in the media, and we do our best, but you've got to be at the ropes, and you've got to be telling people to bring it, and you've got to be out there a lot, because it is the greatest sport in the world, and I am the perfect person to ask. I have asked generals, or seen generals be asked to come out, and they get the typical, oh man, but it's a drag race. They picture James Dean, a pack of cigarettes and a cool car. And they don't, you know, roll up in your sleeves, and they don't picture what it is. And they get out for the first time, and it's an oh my. That is insane. It's exactly what that, I saw that on Facebook. That's exactly what that post is, man. Get people out that have never been there. It is our most difficult thing, because we don't have the marketing dollars NASCAR has to go out and you know, do all the ad campaigns to get people out. So it's up to the drivers. It's up to the teams to really push. And we're in the neighborhood like I do. I get in early. I get in to Pomona on Tuesday. I'll get in on Tuesday. We won't run until Friday. And I'll spend Wednesday doing media. I'll spend Thursday doing media. And those days are critical. But everyone doesn't do that. We need to expand that. We need to get the people out there beating the ground, man. I mean, you got to get people to come out the first time. They very, very, very seldom, I don't even hear it, but they almost never do you hear someone go, that was the greatest day of my life, I'm never coming back. They all love it. The generals that come out for the first time, when they're done, they go, I never expected it to be simply amazing. I just pictured something different. Never expected it to be this big. Never expected them to be that fast, this professional, and so great for kids. You know, it's a great kid sport. Kids come out and they're in awe of not the car going fast. That's a no-brainer. But to watch the men work on the cars and women, these guys do such a great job that these young kids that are so impressionable get to watch this thing and go, you mean I can be someone great like that? I can do that? It gives them a little hope, you know? I mean, right now they're in school. They're working hard, and they don't understand goals yet. You know, their goals are small and they're simple. And it lets them see that these people are doing simply miraculous things as a team. And I think the more kids we bring out, the quicker it spreads.
Thank you, Tony.
You got it.
Great. Thank you very much.
Hand lowered.
We have Jim Peltz. Jim, you may ask your question of Tony.
Tony, it's Jim Peltz of the LA Times. What was your reaction when you got the news about the Allen Abbey team and in terms of its effect on sort of just the Top Fuel ranks, and also if you had a chance to talk to Alan about what happened?
I have not talked to Alan, and honestly, I was bummed. You know, I mean, I liked having Belushi and Langdon out there, and I hope they still come, and I hope the team finds something else, but you just hate that late notice. I've been there before. I've been there when last minute you find out something's changing. It's terrible. It's not good for the sport. Not only do we need more cars, but we can't in any way afford to lose any of them, and not the caliber of crew that those guys are. Alan Johnson's an outstanding crew chief and with great drivers, and they had the money capable of going out and running against a great team. So I was bummed. You know, I mean, it made for a great battle. It was many championships racing each other, and, you know, I thought it was a spectacular way for fans to get to see just a monumental battle. So hope they find something soon. Hope they get it worked out and get out there soon.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you very much, Jim. Next up, we have John Sturban. John, you may ask your question of Tony.
Yeah, Tony. John Sturban from RacingToday.com in Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay. How are you?
How are you doing, Bill?
You enjoying the 80 degrees?
I am. Isn't it? Great weather here.
Yeah.
We just had Dave Conley on talking about his transition to Top Fuel. How difficult is that task going to be for him? He's taken a very humble approach, it seems, and maybe that's the best way to go, eh?
It's the only way to go. Once you get in those cars, you could be you could think you're the coolest guy in the world. They start up a 10,000 horsepower car, and all that goes out the window. And the funny thing is, he does have great leaders. I mean, he's got Larry Dixon, you know, and Bob Vandergriff is a team owner who's made so many laps. But when the car starts and they step away, you are 100% alone, and that is the humbling part. There's no one that can help you. And at my first time I started a Top Fuel car, I was in Denver, Colorado, and after they started it, I looked around. I'm sitting in this car buckled in, and there wasn't one guy that's ever driven a car around me. And I could see the crew chief lean forward, and it looked like he gave me a thumbs up and said good luck, but I couldn't, you can't hear. It's just, and you're thinking to yourself, oh my, this is insane, because you are going to hit the gas and go over 100 miles an hour in under 1 second, and there's no way to practice it. So I think he's a great driver. I think Vandergriff made an excellent choice. But it's going to take him time to get used to a Top Fuel car. The difference in staging, the there's so much that's different. But he understands how to race. He's got the perfect attitude, and he's a good athlete. So all those things are going to play right into it. And he'll go out and make some laps, and he'll get used to it and become a great driver like everyone expects. That's why Bob put him in the car.
Okay. And as a follow-up, he very likely could tie or pass Bob Glidden on the all-time win list this year. I'm just wondering how numbers conscious you are of things of that sort and where you stand on the all-time list.
I honestly had no idea until I heard you guys announce it. And it is not my goal. You know, my goal is to go out and win as many races as I can every year, each and every time. And at the end of my career, I'll look back on the wins and I'll appreciate the sacrifice that we all made to get those wins and, you know, be proud of those moments. You know, things were different. When Bob Glidden raced, it was different. You know, it was just there were different amounts of races per year. So comparing apples to apples is really impossible. People try to do that with Big Daddy Don Garless too. You know, and Indy wins and you know, it's a difficult thing to relate. Drivers are drivers now. Back then, they drove, worked on cars. It was so different. So you know, for me to sit back and try to compare myself to anyone, I'll let you guys do that. That's your job as a media. You can compare it. You can make up those things, and I'll read them. But I honestly, you know, at the end of my career, I hope I have 500 wins. Right now, I'm just trying to get number 78, I think.
All right. Thank you very much, John.
You got it.
Thank you very much, John. Next up, caller from Atlanta, Georgia, 404. May I get your name and affiliation, please?
Yeah, hi there, Tony. It's Ian Talker here from Drag Illustrated.
Hey,
Good. You won your championships, like, with the regular points system, you know, like whoever gets the most at the end of the season wins. You've done it in the the countdown now. And now with the NHRA making it 1.5 points for the U.S. Nationals, I just wanted to see what was your reaction to that points change.
That was cool. I just read that yesterday for the first time. I think it's supposed to be bigger. It's the big go. It's supposed to be the biggest race. It has more money. It has more people show up to win it, and it should come with more points. I think most people always felt that. So just to have it as just another race, it never made sense. And, you know, being an important race for so many cars that can come in and change the position they go into the countdown, I think it's really cool. I almost wish it was double points.
Do you?
I've won it enough times where it would always help me, but I mean, take that out and still for everybody, because we're going into a race now where it's, we haven't even started to qualify it yet. So all things being even, I still wish it was a lot more points. I think it's, I think it makes the sport bigger, makes it more important, and starts to do what it needs to do at Indy.
So are you a fan of the countdown system then? Like when they brought that in, do you think that has accomplished what was hoped for it?
I go back and forth on it. Honestly, it's been the last year before the countdown, we won the championship by setting a world record on the last run of the year. If they could do that every year, they'd be sold out shows.
Right.
But the countdown, was really put in effect to keep people watching, at the end of the year when most of the time by Reading, Pennsylvania, someone had the championship locked up in the old way and people just didn't need to see it. So is it doing what it's supposed to do? I haven't seen the numbers, but I would assume it's probably a good call. If not, NASCAR would have backed out of it a long time ago. And I think NHRA's got a job to do. They got to look at each way and maybe they can fine tune it. And I don't know better ways, but they got a marketing department and they can come up with ideas that are great. And we look and we listen and if we can evolve it even more, and listen to ideas and make it better, that's what we want to do. We are entertainment. That's what it is. Yes, we show up and we have to win and it's our job, but we're entertainment. We're competing with a lot of other companies doing the same thing, and we just have to make it better for the fans in any way we can. Better for the fans, more exciting for them at the end of the year when it's important. At the end of the day, we have to sell commercials. It's TV says what we do. So let's keep it going. Now, if they reverted back, or my crew chief brought it up last year, I thought it was fantastic. He said, once you get into the countdown, when you qualify, you're the number one pick. You get to walk up and choose who you race. There's other ideas out there that are floating out there. I thought that was great. You walk up, if I'm number one going into the last race, and the number six guy is Coletta, and he needs to beat me to be the champ, he can walk up if he's the right qualifier and choose me. So there's ideas. That being said, it's going to make it so confusing for the fan who walks up to understand who's racing who. You wouldn't know till Sunday morning, but we'll just keep working on it, man. I don't know. Do you like it?
I think it works out pretty well. I mean, I'm like you, though. I kind of go back and forth, and I can understand when some guys might get frustrated with it and others not. So, yeah. Hey, keeps you alive if you're number 10, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It gives you that shot, I mean, there was a time where you had to be 1, 2, or 3 near the end, and you had no chance. Now you can come into the 10th. We saw Robert Hight do it. And win championship.
All right, well, thanks, Tony. Good luck this year.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ian. Next up, we have Louis Brewster. Louis, you may ask your question of Tony.
Hey, Tony, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Louis. Happy New Year to you, too.
Hey, listen, in light of the the Allen Nobby situation, you guys have had a tremendous relationship with the Army. And there's been other teams in motorsport that have been cut back by the military. Are you guys pretty set with the Army? What's your future with the Army?
I think it's fantastic. I mean, to be sitting here right now with the Army on the side of the car after all the controversy in the past few years especially is spectacular. It just goes to show how successful this Army program is, and it's not just because we go out and win. It is a recruiting tool. It's what we do. And when the controversy comes up, we can lay the numbers out. This is, look, this is NHRA. Every fan has a pit pass. Here's the numbers we provide. Nothing in the history for recruiting has ever been this successful, and it tends to quiet those situations down. So, we've lasted a long, long time, and it's because we work extra hard to do it. We go above and beyond. We do what the Army does. We go above and beyond, and we do what we have to do to make sure a program succeeds. So I'm glad to represent people like your son, buddy, and his fellow soldiers. It's a great accomplishment, and it's a great long partnership that we've had.
What has been, all the generals that you've had there in your pits, what have been some of the most notable remarks they make? Because you said, they're pretty, they get there thinking one thing and leave with a whole different
General Keane was the vice chief of staff. His first race was in Reading, Pennsylvania. I had just crashed in Memphis, and had a couple fractured ribs, a sprained knee, and in Redding, he was at the finish line. The car shook in the final round. I pedaled it, beat Jim Head. It was still a quarter mile. Beat Jim Head, no parachutes, buried it in the sand trap, and it was climbed. You know, we went, I don't know how many negative Gs, but it was more than enough. My chest was hurting. I climbed out of the car, and he comes running through the beaches down there in the sand trap, and he was a big man, 6 foot whatever, big, and grabbed me, picked me up, was throwing me around. He says, I've never seen anything like that in my life. It was absolutely spectacular. Squeezed me like a rag doll, almost broke my other ribs, but just awesome moments where you get these guys and they're like a kid in a candy store. They're seeing massive power, and these are the Army car, man. These are guys who get it. They understand the power. They understand the sacrifice, the work, you know, the blood, sweat, and the tears, and to see them with a big smile on their face, knowing how much work they have to do the next day. I mean, these are generals. These guys are, you know, they're running our country, and they're defending lots and lots of lives, and they're doing what they have to do. So to give them a little relief for a few minutes and hear their excitement is spectacular.
Hey, well, thanks. I'll see you out here next week. Or
I'll see you next week. Yeah, not even.
All right, thanks, Tony.
You got it.
Great, thank you very much, Louie. Next up, we have Stan Creekmore. Stan, you may ask your question of Tony.
Hey, Tony. I already know who you want to win every race day at an NHRA event, so question in a little bit different direction. Seattle or New England?
New England.
And why?
I have more friends there. Isn't that funny?
It's
a new track. It's grassroots. I've won Seattle a lot of times. It is an important race. You know, Western Swing is kind of crunch time before we go into the countdown. But New England's just fun, man. It's like, it reminds me of any Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Wisconsin. It's just, fans are jam packed in, you know, and it's old school racing. I like being there.
All right, let me change my words just a little bit. Super Bowl. Seattle or New England?
New England, and only because of my son. He loves the Patriots, and that's his way. He's a Packers fan, but he can convert when the Packers get beat. So he's, you know, I gotta go with my kids, man. I'm gone way too much to oppose them when I'm home.
Thank you very much, and have a great season.
You got it. Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much, Dan. Tony, you kind of started off the call, and you briefly talked about your test session. Can you kind of expound upon that, and you know how did the testing down in South Florida go for your Army team?
It went like it always goes. I probably knocked out 8 fillings. I shook 6 runs. You know, I'm happy as could be because, and there's always that track is so good that if you can get the car down that racetrack, you're going to Pomona to smoke the tires. And you know, it's that there's no other cars there. It's not prepared by NHRA. It's just super tight. You've got to be so aggressive to get the car to move that when you get to the next race, no matter where it is, you don't stand a chance using that tune-up. So I'm fine with it. You know, great new car. It's a beautiful car. We know we can go to Pomona and run fast. We know we can go down the racetrack. We know how to do it. We have the combinations. And when we show up to test, we actually show up to test stuff that we've never had before, way off distance stuff that we're going to use later in the year. You know, so it's fine. We have the parts and the pieces that went out. At least was a runner-up in Pomona. We know how to do that. So we'll go out, we'll go fast at the beginning of the year. And we also know that winning the first 10 races doesn't win you a championship. So we got a long year of getting stuff together for the end of the year. It's how the rules are set up. It's how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to win at the end. But being in the correct position to do that, you don't want to be coming in 10th. Yes, Robert Knight did it. But it's such a long shot. You want to be in those top couple and really hit it hard in the countdown.
Great, thank you. I believe we have one last question for John from Susan, or for Tony, before we get to John, from Susan White.
Hey, Tony, I was just going to be lurking here until you picked the Patriots, so I've got to stand
up. I knew you would. I knew you were waiting for me to say Seattle. I get it.
I was. I thought you would say... Can we get you to change your mind if we introduce you to some Seahawks or something? Will you and Anthony
absolutely
change your
mind? I love that. I love football. I love the game. And honestly, when I sit down, I don't always have a favorite. I just choose what my kids like so I can watch it. I want it to be great. Nobody wants to win, watch a blowout match. We want to see it be a great contest. That's it. That's all we want.
I know, but go Seahawks. So anyway,
I knew you'd say that. That's all right.
Happy New Year.
Great, thank you. Thanks, Susan. And John, you have joined us, correct?
I'm here.
All righty. Well, Tony, again, thank you for your time, and we look forward to seeing you as you defend your championship once we begin in Pomona next weekend.
Sounds great. Hey, Johnny, tell Brittany, great run, man. That 69 was outstanding.
Thank you. Hey, Tony, thank you very much. I talked to your dad a week ago, so just tell him I'm expecting to see him at Pomona.
Yeah, he'll be there. He's going to come in Saturday, I think.
Yep, excited. He's doing good.
Yeah, he's doing good. He was here at my house yesterday. I drove up. So, thanks, Johnny. Have fun.
Hey, okay.
Great. Thank you very much, guys. We are now joined by John Forrest, driver of the Peak Antifreeze Chevrolet Camaro Funny Car. John enters the 2015 season with a new sponsor, new funny car manufacturer, and looks to once again improve on his second-place finish in the points. John recently tested with his new car and new team in Phoenix, and all three of John Forrest Racing funny cars will be Chevrolet Camaros for the upcoming season. John, coming off that test session, you guys did, you know, from afar, it looks like you guys had a successful test session with some pretty strong numbers. What are your overall thoughts on that test session?
Well, it was good. A lot of work went into a lot of preparation. The racetrack there did a great job, and some NHRA help that came in to give us a great racetrack course. Conditions were great every day. Lanny McGleasy worked on the track as well. And, of course, my cars have all run in the threes before, so that was no big deal. That many runs in a row, pretty good. The dragster was probably the highlight, you know, even though it's not official. It doesn't matter. We know it has the potential to run good, and we'll have to see what we can do at Pomona. But the testing was good. We got our four Chevrolets there, three Chevrolets and a dragster. So, now life's good, a little overworked, but it's starting to come together with a lot of good friends helping.
Great. Thank you very much. First up, we have Dwight Drum. Dwight, can I ask your question of John?
Thank you. John, you know, overcoming all the problems that you had last year and putting a plan together to get sponsors and getting a new car manufacturer and do all that and get it all done, that's got to be a tremendously satisfying feeling to you. But talk a little bit about just getting that done and then being able to roll into the season with that done.
If I have to pray enough, it is now. But luckily, in this tough economy, I put it back together.
Hand raised.
Working with friends, Robert Height and I, 7 days a week. The JMI group, we just signed a contract with a new sponsor, No Limits. So we're pretty excited. Peak Antifreeze and Coolant coming on board. You know, it led the way to lead the charge for John Forrest personally to be able to chase a championship. Of course, everyone knows that we have Auto Club is one of our greatest partners. They've always stood by us. And of course, Traxxas with Courtney and Mac Tool. But then when, Lucas Oil signed, old Forrest, he's gonna work us and I love it. We'll be filming for him a Dave Despain, show next week with MAV TV next Wednesday, so we're pretty excited about that. But probably the icing on the cake was Chevrolet coming in with that Camaro SS and all the work that it took, you know, to redesign what we had to put it into play. We're okay. And then we went to testing, and the car went down the racetrack, and we're pretty excited. I got, you know, Mike Neff heads our charge. He's my new Austin Coyle. He runs everything. But John Schaefer, I've got a young team that put my hot rod in the threes, and John Schaefer, he was little John, now we call him Big John, but he's trained since he was 17 years old, and he's only worked on Top Fuel cars. And Neff said he was ready, and he proved he could get the job done. So young team, kind of an old guy over here, me, but it's a balance, and we work great together. Of course, my daughter's dragster, some of the Allen-Nobby guys that had left over there because of the changes they have, and we want to wish Alan Johnson, he'll put it back together, he's a racer like me, that we need these teams, and we need Alan Johnson and his drivers. But I got some good kids, and working with Todd Smith, Ronnie Thompson, they put that dragster. Wasn't a perfect test session, but it ran some big numbers, so we're pretty excited.
Great, John. That sounds great, and good luck in putting it all together in 2015.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dwight. Next up, we have Joe.
You may speak to your conference now.
You may ask your question of John.
Thank you very much, Scott. John, last year, first of all, congratulations on the Chevrolet deal. Last year, you were just a couple of points, a couple rounds away from back-to-back NHRA Mellow Yellow World Championships with a lot of chaos on your mind, a lot going on, sponsors, manufacturers, people leaving your team, all of that going on. Now that much of that has been settled and now you're refocused, talk about driving in 2015, and do you feel freed to focus on what is really the most important thing that you do is get the car down the racetrack and turn on wind lights?
Yeah, but driving's what I really do. The rest of this stuff, it's the day-to-day business that'll wear and tear you. When I got to testing, everybody said my personality changed because you get back into what you really love, and that's driving a race car on the NHRA circuit. I can't wait to get to the Winter Nationals. I'm excited because driving that car is, I'm good at it. And I, you know, it's not like they told me Jeff Gordon, I did some interviews, that he's going to be retiring. And I probably got 25 years on him. But retiring's not an option to me. I love what I do. I'm still good at it. I've got sponsors that have stepped up, like Chevrolet, that really put me over the top where I could run my four race cars financially. And I'm excited about that. I already got deals happening, albeit Mark Christopher Chevrolet in Ontario, Wednesday, February 4th, 6 to 8. Already the dealers are calling all over the country. Everybody is excited to see John Force back. And that I'm in business and back to my roots where I came from, General Motors. So life is good, but the car is what I do. And that's what I get in it. I swear to God. I always said, one day at the end of my career, I'm going to drive naked and blindfolded. I believe I could still get the job done. It wouldn't be pretty. It wouldn't be pretty, but I could get it done. So I'm ready to drag race. And I want to thank you, Joe. Last week, I got a little upside down, and you bailed me out. I owe you one.
No problem, John. Let me hit you with this follow-up real quick. Hagen, he's got what you want. The Hagen Force rivalry building and brewing, incredibly entertaining now for several years. He got one, you got one, he got one, you got one, that kind of deal. And we want to see this next round of this great rivalry in Funny Car. What do you think about this matchup in 2015?
Well, he's got, you know, when I talked to Schumacher the other day just briefly, you know, I said, I need to race you. You're part of what drives me. You know what I mean? It's what gets me up in the morning. And Don Schumacher funds a lot of teams, gives a lot of jobs, and we owe to thank him for that. And Hagen's one of his best, him and Dickie Venables. So I'm ready. But if Hagen will tell you, if he focused on me and I focused on him, well, then Cruz Pendragon or Robert Hyde or Courtney or Ron Capps is going to go around us. So what we do, we take them a day at a time. I like Hagen because he's respectful. And if he loses, he's respectful. If he wins, he's respectful. Some guys find it hard to handle either way. But at the end of the day, it is hard when you lose. It was hard on me, especially in the situation I was in. Like I said, we're in a tough economy, but corporate America, the world's out there starting to realize, let's rebuild America. And John Force, I'm going to help rebuild drag racing. I think we have a great product in NHRA. I think the leaders at the top are trying to get us to build this sport to the next level. We got a lot of work, all of us, to do, and if we work together, we'll get there. I think Pomona is going to be a home run. I know how the fans are reacting to me coming back in a Chevrolet and with Peak antifreeze, so bring it on. Bring on, Hagen. I'm ready for you, kid.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
You are hand lowered.
Louis Brewster. Louis, you may ask your question of John.
Hey, John, how you doing? Happy New Year.
I got a smile on my face, Louie. Last time I saw you, I know I looked a little under the weather, beat up. But The good Lord don't guarantee you this job. You got to earn the right to drive a fuel funny car, and I'm going to, and I get that chance again. And it just changed. Like I said, I got some gray hair, but in my heart, I'm alive and well, and that's where I need to be to be a top contender.
Well, listen, you're coming out to Mark Christopher Chevrolet. I just thought I'd tell you about the local laws that you can't be naked, okay?
I won't be naked. Hey, I'm going to bring some, at least one of my nostalgia cars from my early Chevrolet, my Chevrolet days. I'll have there, and I'm going to, it looks like we're going to have one of our new Camaros there, so I'm excited about that. Either Robert Hyde or Courtney or myself, the Peak Antifreeze, I don't know which one, but it was exciting to have the dealers call. I know they're involved with a lot of different teams, and that's exciting, but to get to be a part of it and start off, you know, for Chevrolet right out of the box. You're working those dealers. That's what it's all about. They're the ones that pay the bill.
What do you see? This is a very competitive class this year. I mean, how do you see this thing playing out at the end of the year?
Well, Robert Hyde wants a championship as much as I do, and he knows how to do it. Courtney, she's ready. She's got a race car. She knows how to drive it. She's living it. If this wedding that she's going to with this Rahal, you know, if she can keep her focus, and she will. She's my daughter, and she knows the drill. And we had meetings this morning. So, but there's a lot of other kids out there that are overdue. Ron Kapp's got a great team. Any day this could happen, and it would be well deserved. Hagen will be back in the hunt. Wilkerson ran 0-2 over there, 0-3. Cruz Petragon ran 4-flat or 4-01. I don't know the numbers at Phoenix. It was exciting times to watch this, and I had a fear, Louie, that I wasn't going to get to drive anymore, and that I had nightmares at night. I went to bed. I felt like it was like it was at the end of the world to me, and nothing should take you there mentally, but it did because it's all I know. It's all I understand. I thought of Hagen being out there and my girls without me. You know what I mean? Now I had to be there, and I made it, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Well, we'll see you at the dealership, okay?
Going to be there. I'm excited. I met the family and their marketing people from that group, Mark Christopher, and they're just really good people. Really love NHRA, love the racing. They're going to have signs on Tony Petragon's car. I saw maybe I shouldn't say that announcement, but it looked awesome. And I know they work with the Pro Stock group and Eric Anders and all them, and they really love our sport, and we need that kind of support. But I'm getting Chevrolet dealers. Moss Motors called me, wanting to help. I got dealers in Phoenix already, dealers back east. John Force Racing, we're back in the hunt.
So if I tell them I know you, I can get like 25% off a new Chevy?
I'll get you a deal. Whatever I can get, I'll get you a deal.
Thanks, John. See you later.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Louie. Next up, we have Jim Peltz with the LA Times. Jim, you may ask your question of John.
John, did you say you hired some of the Allen Abbey guys? And was that for Brittany's car?
Yeah, on the dragster, Ronnie Thompson came over, and then a clutch kid. I don't know from which team. I know they said they were only going to run one of the teams, so there was people looking for jobs. And, they came over there, and it was really funny. We're all a little bit slow. Neff's team with Robert Hyde Auto Club was right on the deal, right out of the box. Ron Douglas and my son-in-law, Daniel Hood, and Courtney, right out of the box, they were good. But I got to be honest, we were a little slow, and I rented the tractor for 4 days, and the first day we only got one runoff, just learning it with some of these new guys. We had kids. We had one kid. It was so funny. He come from a dragster team, and he turned from my fronty car, and he started running, and I said, "Where are you going?" And he goes, "Nah, stupid." Later we found out he's so used to running around a dragster because they're real long, he took off thinking when he left the motor that he had to go a certain direction. And so what we did, we ran so good, you know, we took the cars back. I said, we know how to run fast, so what we're going to do is tear down contests. So we filmed it. I think it's on the internet. Elon filmed it. But we took the whole car, gutted it, put it back together. First run was like 58 minutes, and they put it back together. I get in it. We fired up, and then they tore it down again, and we went through that process all afternoon, and we got it down to 51 minutes. And it really, you know, at first I think they looked at me like I was nuts, but after we were done, John Schaefer said, boy, these guys got fast, just a matter of drill and training. Same thing they do in the Marine Corps. So it was fun, though, watching them, and we'll be ready to make the call at Pomona.
Okay, thanks, John.
Thank you.
Great, thank you very much, Jim. Next up, we have Stan Creekmore. Stan, you may ask your question.
Hey, John. When you look at this season and everything that you went through last year to get to this point, does this make this season one of the most challenging you've ever entered, or maybe one of the most exciting that you've ever entered?
The most exciting. It takes me back to my roots. I've had to go back 10 years of my program financially to address how I was able to race. I had to evaluate budgets. And that's what, you know, Chevrolet said when they come in. Mr. Campbell, he said, we want you competitive and we want safety. And that, boy, we agreed on that, because that is key to everything in this sport. You want to be able to compete and win, and I've got enough money financially now to do that and to still continue to build safety. We got a lot of work. We did a redesign on what we had. We got it approved by NHRA. We haven't even started on the engine program, but we will, and in time we'll change it. But the excitement to me is I get to race, and I get to race with my daughters and my grandkids. We're going out this weekend. With Autumn Roberts taking her out to drive the junior dragster that they own. So, challenging. Yeah, but I understand the challenge. It's what you got to do. Nothing's a gift. There's a lot of work, and we're not done yet. Just signed this company, No Limits, just a few days ago, and with JMI. So we're looking at other deals. I've got a potential sponsor. I can't talk about it. I hope it comes any day. They tell me it'll probably be before Gainesville, but we're going to be okay. And so right now, just getting the race, and we can be competitive. I build a team. I never build a team based off any one man, not off of me, not off of any driver or any crew chief or any clutch or bottom end guy. I build a team A, B, and C plan. Somebody gets sick, somebody quits. Whatever happens, we won't fail. I got to admit, this time we got hit pretty hard, but in the midst of it, we recovered. Now, that don't mean we're going to run out and win a championship right off the bat, but we'll be a contender. I'll give you my word on that.
Okay, so, and I've also heard a rumor that you have now established that you plan to at least retire as a driver prior to age 100. Is that accurate?
Had me scared there. Yeah, if I live to 100, I have days, I'm not kidding anybody, at my age, I wake up and old muscles are aching, but I get down in that gym, and 30 minutes in that gym, I'm 20 years old again. Put me in that fire suit, I'm 16 years old. Maybe I'm a little nuts, but man, I just love it. And I look at my Chevrolets now, I had great partners, and I want to wish all of them well, but I've got partners that I feel like I've gone home with Chevrolet, that I've gone back to cars that I won championships in, and I'm able to bring them out of my museum. I already got them on the road heading to a show with Mac Tool at their big convention at the Lucas. I think it's at the Lucas Stadium. We're going to have a day there, and now I can show a lot of my history. You know what I mean? Because But my museums are my museums. I have lots of different types of cars. So, nope, I'm ready. I look at that bow tie, and I'm ready.
Good luck, and I thank you very much. I wish you the best of years.
Going to need some luck, but I got a job, and that's what's most important, so I can keep my family in shoes, and I can help build NHRA, because the fans deserve it, and our future players in our sport, the kids that'll, my grandkids will be racing here someday, I believe.
Have a great one, Jim.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Dan. A couple more questions. First up, Ian Tosher with Drag Illustrated.
Hey, John, it's Ian here with Drag Illustrated. I know you addressed the little bit of a controversy about rebranding the Mustang bodies as Camaros already. So I was just wondering, is there going to be a real Camaro body coming out this year? And if so, when would that be happening?
That was one of the issues. We knew financially where we stood with Chevrolet. I knew that 4 or 5 months ago. And it was about, could we deliver a car? Could we have a Camaro that looked like a Camaro, and not just because of decals? We had to do a major redesign, and we had help in that. We worked with a group out of Indy that does the aero and stuff there in miniature scale. They worked on this car. Mike Neff was on top of it. Robert Height, we got the designs. We got them to NHRA. We showed them what we wanted to do. They wanted to see it. We had to go back. They were about $8,000 a car. That's why I didn't go with Pro to West Palm Beach. One of the reasons I didn't think I was going to make up to the last day. We made the deal to run Phoenix within a week to 2 weeks that we thought we at least have a couple of bodies done. And my guys worked around the clock in the paint shops, Brandon, to get these cars painted. And it has been a roller coaster ride. I didn't think I was going to make it. But we got the cars done. We like I said, we redesigned what we had. That's all we could do. We did get approval from Ford Motor Company and GM. We moved ahead. But GM wanted that car to have all the specs, even though it's a spec NHRA body and it's got to fit in a mold, it had to have all of the characteristics of the Camaro. And it does. I was amazed when I saw it finished. You know what I mean? I was really excited. And it looks good. Now, you put paint on it. I got a Camaro. NHRA approved it. Yeah, they drug us through the hot coals, but we made it right at the last day, and we rolled. And yeah, the bodies are heavy. They're 15, 17 pounds heavy. And we just got to live with that. But sometimes if it just works. And they ran good, so proof's in the pudding.
So the bodies that you're running right now, is that what we're going to see all of this year? Or will there be a new, dedicated Camaro body still to come?
I apologize. I never answer a question. I get so excited. When we spoke with a group at Chevrolet, there's a brand new car coming in 2016. We even look at unveiling. I thought we could unveil it at Indy. I own some of the races still that I haven't sold yet, but after we looked at what it really takes to build a car, you're talking about an 8 to 12 month project to do it right, to get it approved, because you build a mold, you end up changing it. I know. I build the molds. I've been through this process with Metal Crafter and these guys, and there was no way we could make it. And the truth is, they're selling the 2015 Chevrolet SS Camaro right now. There was no reason for them to try to put out the 2016. I don't know anything about it. They've got it under wraps. They won't talk about it. I tried to get to a few insiders, and they said, we don't know. When it's time, the bosses will tell me, time to start the process. We just got this thing signed, and so we're going to be talking in the next few weeks, in the next month, but I guarantee you a new car by 2016. I hope before that, but by then we'll have it. That is in the plan.
Are there a bunch of new Camaros in the John Force Racing parking lot now? Are the girls driving one now?
Yeah, we haven't got our new demos yet. You know, I want to thank Ford. They've been nothing but good. They said, use our cars. You know, if you need them, they were just a great partner. And I want to wish them luck. But I want to say that dealers are calling me. Everybody's trying to give me cars. You know what I mean? And trying to make sure that we're right for Pomona. So, yeah, the girls are excited. They picked out, they got these hot rod, Camaro SSs, and they're loving it. You know, they look like Indy cars. They don't look like drag race cars. They're really cool. But we're moving that way. It's just, all this went down just after Christmas and before Christmas and when we started making the move. And, you know, we got our orders in now. We'll be okay. We'll be flexing our muscles in Chevrolets from now on.
Well, great. Thanks, and good luck to your whole team this year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Next up, we have Susan Wade. Susan, you may ask your question of John.
Hey, John. Happy New Year.
Hi, girl. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, although I have to say that comment about blindfolded and naked almost made me forget my question, but... You talked about this new sponsor. Can you give us a little bit more about who that is? And then also, you had spoken in Las Vegas last year about, you said, one of these days I'm going to be milking cows, or I'm going to be selling milk, or I'm in the milk business, or something like that. Are you talking about the Coca-Cola's new milk brand by any chance?
No. Let me tell you, Susan, I've signed a confidentiality. Hell, I can't tell anybody. NHRA's asked me, but it's a federal government deal, and that's why I know the deal's real. It isn't like someone's promised me a deal, and it could still not happen. Things can not happen, but I met the president of the company that started the company. He personally told me where we stood and why, and they wrote me a contract that's going together right now, but it's all based on this thing happening. It has happened because the stock's already gone up, and that's about as much as I can say about it. But we are continually chasing new sponsors. I've got JMI's in San Francisco as we speak today, talking with other groups. We're not done yet. It's just a lot tougher than we thought, and that's why it was so key. I kept telling you I had an announcement at Vegas. Well, we unveiled Peak Antifreeze and Coolant and Blue Death. And then I said we'd have an announcement by SEMA. Couldn't get it done. Couldn't get the bodies approved even though we knew what the deal was. And if I can't get them approved, I can't announce something. And then Lucas Oil, we finally announced it at Pomona. And those deals are what's keeping me alive. The Chevrolet deal, like I said, was the icing on the cake. It put me into business. So, you know, I've got my own personal money. I have endorsement monies. I have Matt Tool. I have auto clubs. They sponsor all my cars, auto club do. So I have extra money there to help fund this dragster. And we're moving ahead. My daughter worked hard to get a shot at racing Brittany, and it would break my heart not to give her that shot. And I had to go. I had to make a move. I'm tied to too many sponsors for the next 5 years. I just sat down one day and I said, what am I really? Is this about money or spending my retirement? I didn't have any money when I started. This is about I am a drag racer. This is all I do. This is all my family does. It's what we do. So, like, let's get over whether we're going to go racing or not. Let's go make the move. I made the call, and we're going. And we're going to make it. Because that's the way it is. I'm not the only race team out there, and I'm financially, like Robert said, if you look at our budget, we're probably still in the top three. My operation got big, TV studios, you know, road shows, midways. I've had to change a lot of stuff of how I'm going to run it and how we're going to make it work. But we're going to make it. But right now the focus is running, not building, not growing any more buildings or rentals or bigger movie theaters, none of that. Everything is building race cars that can win and keeping the drivers safe. And that's where we're going, and that's what John Force does until the day he drops, and then my kids and Robert Height will take it on from there.
That's a sad thought. But, hey, have you had enough time? Have you had enough Have you been paying attention to the Super Bowl matchup? And if you have, are you for the Seahawks or the Patriots?
You had to tell me who was playing. I know Brady was playing because I read all the stuff about the flat footballs. But, no, I'm kind of like Tony Schumacher on that. I follow quarterbacks. I don't know Seattle much. I know that they got a guy out there on defense, a corner guy that's just a killer. That boy, he says what he feels. They got this quarterback that's a hot rod. You know what I mean? But Patriots, I follow him, so I don't know. You know, it's really funny, the big football game, college football, Graham Rahal is going to marry my daughter, I guess, and Rahal, you know, is from Ohio, that's his team, and when they put in that four-string quarterback that looked like a linebacker and he ran over everybody, I really kind of got into that game, too, against Oregon. But, no, I'll tell you what, I'm going to the phone and back to the table, and maybe I'm watching it passing the screen. Super Bowl Sunday, I'll be working. I'm not done yet. I ain't going to be done probably till the middle of the year putting this thing back together. And but I do love football. So, no, I don't have a priority, really.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, have fun, and we'll see you in Pomona.
Good luck to your team. I know who you're rooting for.
You bet. Thanks.
Okay.
Great, thank you very much. And we have one last question from John, from Jeannie Brissall. Jeannie, thanks for your patience. You may ask your question of John.
Yeah, thanks. John, I think it's, you know, really kind of a miracle the way things happen, you know, with losing Ford and Chevy picking you up. And I don't know, I've always been one to say friends don't let friends drive Ford. But, you know, I think it shows how important you are to the sport to pick up Chevy as a sponsor. Would you agree with that?
I really appreciate you saying it. Maybe my timing's everything in life. I was coming home last night thinking about, you make the wrong turn on a corner and somebody runs into you and you don't know why you went that way, you just did. I'm giving that as a hypothetical. But timing in life is everything. But I also know that you don't give up. Maybe I got a little religious in my older years, but it's like if you keep beating that road and you keep chasing what you love and you don't lose the dream, if you don't lose the dream, you won't lose the fire. And every time you get turned down, you just pick yourself up and you go back and you start again. I stood on the start line with a young kid, John Schaefer, and I looked at this kid and I thought, I have dumped the weight of the world on him. Now I know he's got Mike Neff. I mean, Mike Neff is now the teacher. He's running Robert's car, but he's overlooking all these cars. And John Schaefer worked underneath him for 4 years. We knew John could run a race car. One of the things Robert said to me, John, you're forgetting something. Some of these kids have come from pro mods, dragsters, alcohol, super comp cars, and they're working with a legend. See, I don't think of myself as a legend. I'm just a race car driver, and I love it. But he said, you need to give them more love. You need to get in there with them. They all had a big dinner Saturday night after the races. It's a matter that I didn't realize the pressure that I put on these kids without even saying it, with never raising my voice, just telling them, hey, come on, let's get it done. That pressure is built in to deliver because they know as a driver I deliver championships, just like Robert Height. And I looked out at John Schaefer, and I thought, God, I never thought about that, Robert, you know. And I sat down and had a sit down with John. If we win together. If we lose together. But as long as we got the dream, we're going to be okay, John. And we've dumped a lot on you. And, boy, he rose to the occasion. Never panicked when it smoked the tires. When it got sideways, he was right down there. Okay, let's go back again. He really led that team. And I know Mike Neff is helping him, but I was truly impressed with this kid because, you know, Jimmy Prock ran my car. He's one of the great ones. But if you think about it, Jimmy Prock was 26 years old. When he came out, somebody said he ran one of the quickest runs you know, in history, and a young kid, and he evolved to a champion, and yet I got a kid the same age, 25 or 26 years old. I'm going to be okay. And it ain't because I ran a good ET that we ran in the threes. It ain't because of that. Did it a number of times. It's because the attitude of the people, the ones that are with me now, I know where I'm going. I don't have to wake up living in fear. You know what I mean? You can't bind somebody by a contract. It don't work that way. If somebody needs to leave for whatever their reasons, God bless them. But you got to know where you stand. And I stand tall right now with 50 of them at Phoenix, from my media to my marketing team. Dean Antonelli is running my – he's general manager now of John Force Racing. He overlooks all my headaches over me and Robert, whatever we just expect him and Kelly, his wife, the day-to-day, and it's working. And the proof's in the pudding. Let's see what we can do at Pomona. Could be terrible, could be great, but at least I get to go. And that's what I love. I love NHRA. I'm sorry. I just do.
Yeah, well, you know, you kind of are NHRA. I just want to say one other thing. I saw the video that Elon was the cameraman and you talking about your early days. That was excellent.
Oh, thank you. The early days, that's where you find your dreams. You know, the other night I was in, Ashley was going to drive back to California, and she had the two babies with her, and Danny had his truck. And I said, honey, I don't want you driving across the desert without somebody with you. I said, let me drive your car back. No, Dad, go get on the plane. No, let me drive your car back. I need a little time in the middle of the desert. I need to find myself. There was so much going on in my head. I was back to Chevrolet and all my partners, and I'm out in the middle of the desert. I must have drank 5 cups of coffee. I was wound up, and I stopped out there in a windstorm in the middle of, I think it was Needles or something. I don't know where I was at. I saw Needles somewhere, a sign. And I just found, I remembered crossing that desert in a Chevrolet crew cab pulling a Chaparral trailer. And Adrian was in there, and Ashley was in a baby seat. Brittany and Courtney weren't even born. You know what I mean? And it was like, I'm going to be okay. Now you're making me emotional. Why you do that to me? Okay, I'm good here. Everybody's good. Got to shut up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Jeannie. And thank you, John. I think that will conclude our conference call for the day. John, thanks as always for your time.
Thank you.
Great. Members of the media, once again, the NHRA season kicks off next weekend, February 5th through the 8th at the Circle K NHRA Winter Nationals at Auto Club Raceway at Pomona.
And there you have it, the first press conference of 2015 from the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. John Force, Tony Schumacher, and Dave Connolly, all with great answers from the drag racing media. You are taken behind the scenes by the folks here at WFO Radio. Thank you so much for logging on. Check it out. Now, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do? You just listened to all that stuff. Why don't you click on the Nitro Show, check out the archive, or even better, the Ignition Show, where we get ready for the Super Bowl, or whatever is coming next, depending on when you are listening. You can subscribe to our archives, go to iTunes, you'll get it right on your iPhone, your iPod, or Android. You can download our mobile application. There's a million ways to listen. The point is, if you've got an internet connection from your mobile device, or wherever you happen to be, you can listen to WFO. It's just about doing it the very first time. And hey, just like Tony Schumacher and John Force said in the press conference about getting someone who has never done something to do something for the very first time, you clicked on this press conference and you got all the way to the end. You're hearing this part of it, so check out the rest of WFO Radio and what we have to offer. I think after you do it a few times, you'll be hooked. We hope to have you listen in on one of our future shows. Thanks to all the listeners out there. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO Radio with Joe Costello.
We're fighting in a street fight right now, and everybody's throwing all kind of blows, and we got to throw the blows back, too, and that's what we've been doing. And there's no more games. This ain't recess. Recess is out. This is some serious stuff, and everybody's going out there to throw down. And if you want to win, you got to bring not the A-plus game. You better bring your whole arsenal, for World War IV is going on right now.
WFORadio.com.